US President Joe Biden has rejected suggestions he's unfit for another term in the White House. His comments came at a highly anticipated press conference in Washington yesterday. Mr. Biden told reporters he's in good shape and he insisted he's the most qualified person to win November's election.
I think I'm the most qualified person to run for president. I beat him once and I will beat him again. Secondly, the idea, I served in the Senate a long time. The idea that senators and congressmen running for office worry about the ticket is not unusual.
But even as he said all that, he referred to his deputy Kamala Harris as Vice President Trump.
Look, I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president, but I think she was not qualified to be president. So let's start there.
And before that gaffe, he referred to Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky as President Putin at the NATO summit.
I've said before, Russia will not prevail in this war. Ukraine will prevail in this war. And we'll stand with them every single step of the way. And now I want to hand it over to the President of Ukraine, ladies and gentlemen, President Putin. President Putin. You're going to beat President Putin. President Zelensky, I'm so focused on beating Putin, we got to worry about it.
Professor Thomas Gift is the director of the Centre for US Politics at the University College London. He's on the line now. Professor Gift, what's your reaction to President Joe Biden's performance yesterday?
Well, good morning. It's great to be with you. I almost feel like the performance was kind of the worst of all worlds. There were enough flubs that it won't be reassuring to critics, but it was also strong enough on the substance that Biden can make a plausible argument to stay in the race. I think the real challenge is that Americans just can't unsee what they saw at the debate a couple of weeks ago. And so I don't think that last evening really changes the dynamics of the decision for Biden too much.
About 15 members of his party are now calling for him to step aside. Does it quell their fears at all in terms of what you're saying? It doesn't sound like it does.
I don't think that it does. There's just so much momentum right now in the direction of calling for Biden to step down that I don't think that that will be suppressed. You know, for Biden, he is just at a place where he just doesn't know what to do. I think he's not giving the answers that that Congress members want.
And momentum is everything in a race like this. Once you're explaining, you're losing. And the Democrats are doing a lot of explaining on this. And Professor Gift, can you still hear us on the line there? We seem to be having a challenge with Professor Gift's line. Professor Gift, can you hear me?
I can now again, yes.
Great. Sorry, well, I was just saying that in a political race like this, momentum is everything. And once you're explaining, you're losing. And that's what the Democrats are doing at the moment.
I think you're absolutely correct. All the momentum right now is with Donald Trump. And he's really spent the last couple of weeks being quiet, which is very unusual for him, as we know. But he's been very happy to let the Democrats bicker among themselves, quarrel among themselves, and kind of let the party self-implode just weeks away from the convention.
And while you look at that mixed performance from Joe Biden yesterday evening, the real issue for him now, it's not today, it's not the end of 2024, it's the end of 2025, 2026, and in 4 years' time as well.
You're absolutely right. I mean, one thing is the short term. Can he get through this campaign? But when you figure that he's 81 now, by the time he finishes his presidency, he would be 86. Oftentimes, age doesn't kind of catch up with you in a linear fashion. It tends to deteriorate quite quickly. And given that the concerns with his age are so significant, I think it's a reasonable question to ask whether he can make it to the end of his term. It's one reason why Republicans have been articulating this message that a vote for Biden is actually a vote for Kamala Harris, his vice president.
Well, you touched on it earlier. 2 weeks ago, we had that disastrous CNN debate with President Trump. At the time, you described the response by the Democrats to the debate as tone deaf. Has anything changed now a couple of weeks later?
I don't think so. I mean, the real problem was not just the debate. It was all of the post-debate spin. Biden and his allies just kept putting excuse after excuse into the public that Biden had a cold, that Biden was suffering jet lag 11 days after he had returned from Washington, that he's okay between the hours of 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. It's just not serious political messaging. I think Americans saw through it, and they weren't convinced that all these justifications or rationales were good enough for the very bad performance he gave at the debate.
President Biden described, I think, €200 million plus in the bank account in terms of funding for his campaign. But the big question now is whether the donors, the people who will fund his campaign, can stomach this, will they?
It's an excellent question. One big donor, George Clooney, actually just wrote an op-ed in the New York Times a couple of days ago saying that Biden wasn't the Biden of old. He wasn't the Biden of 10 years ago, much less the Biden even from 6 months ago. And of course, in American politics, money matters. And if you're running a national campaign, particularly against Donald Trump, who has his own campaign war chest, you really need to make sure that the dollars are flowing in. If donors get cold feet, I think that that really could be the end of Biden.
Joe Biden says he won't drop out of the race if his staff, unless his staff come to him with strong evidence that he can't win November's election. Do you think he can beat Trump?
You know, he can beat Trump. The polls, though, are not in his favor, and they're even worse than they were a couple of weeks ago before the debate. If you look at polling nationally, he's down between 4 and 5 percentage points in some key swing states like Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia. He's down by even more. And this has been one of the challenges in so far as kind of many Democrats don't think that Biden really grips the reality of how dire of a state his campaign is in.
This is a story that keeps on giving. The rest of the world is watching on as the campaign continues. What's the impact on U.S. relations with the rest of the world?
Well, I think the rest of the world is quite fearful that the return of Donald Trump is imminent. We all know that Donald Trump took a belligerent isolationist approach. His America First foreign policy didn't prioritize multilateral relations. He took an axe to NATO and other international institutions. So I do think that global leaders don't want to see Trump return again, but they're also concerned about what would it mean to have sort of a Joe Biden who's not a 100%.
Professor Thomas Giff, Director of the Center for US Politics at the University College London. Thanks for joining us this morning.